morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for making this all work, taking care of the stuff we don't understand, and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. I don't know what button to push.
Pushing all the buttons
there
to make sure this is seamless on a Saturday.
I always wanted to work on a transmission.
You know, it's early. We have to get coffee
and
early.
And that is our co-host, Mr. Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, how's everything going this week?
Things are going great. Man, it is busy. It has been a nutty last week.
It is absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about the spring market. The last 2 weeks have been crazy.
Tell you, if you want to sell your house, get it on the market right now. Give Lance a call. Lance, where can they call you to list their house?
727-8977. Perfect. And I know you've been working huge with the loans and the folks that we've been sending over for you to get pre-approved.
We are pre-approving people left and right. It's amazing right now.
Good. It's just that time of year. You know, we talk about it. We're ready for it. And, all cylinders have been firing for sure. Or as John would say, we're cooking with gas now.
Mm-hmm. All cylinders.
I love it. And, well, John, you've got to be getting kind of excited to get that pool reopened after all that work last year.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Home improvement.
It's about time to start having pool conversations. Pool conversations with John.
Well, it won't be too long. And, in fact, I think I was looking at our schedule in about a month or two. I think we even have a pool guy coming in to talk to us.
So, perfect.
That'll be good, and we'll get some information from them. We always like to start the show off with a little bit of news, real estate in the news, and what's kind of going on. So I thought we had done some local news recently and stuff.
Yep.
But I thought for just a little bit of fun, we would talk about an article that came out on Zillow.com. Zillow is a huge website that we use to market our clients' homes.
Mm-hmm.
People use to evaluate their homes and find homes. They also provide, because of the amount of data that they have and homes that they now track, they're rapidly becoming one of the premier sites. So a lot of times articles and stuff come out from them, and one of the articles that just caught my attention that was kind of fun this week is, if you've ever thought about owning $1 million home, the time might be now. And that's because they're on most of the $1 million homes around the nation, not here in the Tri-Cities, but around the nation, they're having a 50% off sale.
Wow,
right now.
50% off on $1 million home. That's a good price, folks. That is a way to make money.
So the article came out, and it just gave some examples of different areas, and just I thought it would be fun for listeners to see what is happening and what people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And these homes that we're going to talk about, it's just really interesting. The luxury market is actually starting to be really solid, because a lot of these folks that had held on and had large amounts of savings that didn't go down, you know, during the economic times, they're in a prime position to buy, and those folks like to buy at 50% off.
So cash is king.
The homes that they pulled up, just as an example to be listed, these are not distressed sales. These ones that I'm going to talk about today are not foreclosures and not short sales. These are regular sales in the market.
Homes ready to be purchased right now.
So the first one, 140 East Happy Valley Road in Scottsdale, Arizona. We now have those direct flights with Allegiant down, so here's your opportunity.
Great spot.
2006 original sales price, $4.1 million. Currently on the market right now, 8,500 square foot home in Scottsdale, 6-bedroom, 8-bath. Originally sold, 2006, 4.1. Current list price, $1.9 million.
Wow.
So that is some equity washed away for those folks there. They talk about these markets.
Well, they do have flash floods down there.
They talk about these markets, you know, and what happens. Another market, South Carolina, Serena Drive, Myrtle Beach. 2006 sales price, $3.1 million. Current price on the market, $1.5 million.
Wow.
49% price cut. 6,000 square foot home. I mean, people are
too
really
much to clean.
Bad to be the seller of that home.
These are just beautiful homes. You know, the design factor on some of these homes are just, you know, are really just amazing. Here's one that a little bit closer to home, Monteverde Drive, Lincoln, California. 2006 sales price, $1.7 million. Current list price, $759,000. I mean, it's just crazy.
Folks, if you want to build wealth in your life, remember this one thing. Buy low.
Sell high.
So it was just interesting to see some of these homes in some of these markets and what kind of happened, you know, what really happened to those markets. So just kind of a fun story there to say, you know, here's what's gone on with some of these upper end home values. Here's what we're looking at. And that's today. I mean, that is an article that came out, you know, just a couple days ago. These markets are still hurting, and they're still seeing these price drops.
So for some perspective, Lance, how does that apply to our local market here in Tri-Cities from the standpoint of, I know that our home prices didn't really rocket up, and therefore we didn't really see huge corrections in our market. So if people are looking to list a home right now, Is it really more of a lateral move from a family standpoint or from a growth standpoint or from a move down standpoint? What are you seeing in our local market?
Well, that's great to reflect that to our local market, because what's happened, and one thing that they noted is they said in the article, why such a significant drop in prices? Well, you know what? A lot of these homes were overpriced when they sold in 2006, and now they're in a market that's no longer considered high end. These markets have actually changed. At one point, they were considered high end, and they are no longer in a market that is considered high end. So they had a drastic market shift. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that we did not see here is our market primarily stayed based upon the cost of construction.
I was just going to say, we talked about that with some of our builders. They based prices on cost of construction.
It did not cost $4 million to build that home.
So it was just demand that really pushed those prices through the roof.
It was prices based upon demand. And since we have had steady demand, we've had steady supply, we have not seen our market get out of whack based upon that. So really what's happened here is we've had steady, slow growth, you know, anywhere some years from 1% to 3% appreciation. There were some pocket neighborhoods that were a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. But that 2 to 3% is a good average that we can go by. When you look at the cost of selling, you still have to be in a home about 3 to 4 years for it to break even, mm-hmm. you know, to make that decision. Mm-hmm. We're still working off very similar type formulas now. And so for people that are, you know, looking to make a move up, that have been in a home here for 10 years, they have not lost equity like these folks have in these other markets. They have equity in those homes, generally speaking. And they can make a move up and still not be in a market that's grossly overpriced.
Mm. Wow, great feedback.
Makes you wonder what those homes were actually worth construction cost-wise.
Yes. Well, worth is perception in a lot of cases, isn't it?
That's
it?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you watch some of these shows about Hollywood Hills, you know, real estate and stuff, million-dollar listings and stuff. People think I shouldn't watch those because I do that all day, but sometimes I just can't get away from it.
But anyway,
you see that, you know, there are things that play into that we're always considering. Some of its location, some of its neighborhood prestige, you know, and those things are a factor even in neighborhoods around here. And so that's why we have to evaluate, you know, each property on an individual basis. And that's one reason why it's so careful to always state that real estate is a local market. Mm-hmm. You know, the prices here are vastly different than what we just described for fun.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know that today you wanted to talk a lot about the last 2 weeks of closing and upgrades and things and finalizations and all kinds of crazy things that people put into a home. What are things that that you've got on the stuff that you want to talk today about regarding kind of finalization or things that you're trying to get figured out at the very end of a transaction?
Well, number one is some things that people don't think about a lot of times, which I believe is a very smart thing to do and can alleviate a lot of problems later on, and sometimes it's a real pain, but to help the last 2 weeks of your home closing go smoother is it really comes down to a lot of documentation.
Right.
And what happens is right now, because of these darn lenders like Scott that can now close a transaction in 30 days, I mean, what's he thinking?
30 days, that's way too much time.
So it's really, when we look at the timeline and what happens in 30 days, it's really easy to see the need for documentation and what's happening. So standard, you know, just a standard everyday thing that we go through with all of our clients, and I bring this up because not everybody goes through home sales, you know, day in and day out like we do. If what happens is we get a contract, it's a 30-day close, the first thing that needs to happen in the 10 days of that 30 days is the buyer needs to have a home inspection and get those results back to the seller.
Absolutely.
So they have a home inspection. They get those results back to us. Say that it takes the full 10 days, which often it does by the time you get an appointment with the seller and the inspector that works for everybody. We say there's some things that need to be fixed. There's some electrical work, some plumbing work. They send us back their request. Seller, Mr. Seller, please fix XYZ.
Right.
We have 3 days to respond to that. We have 3 days because a lot of times we can't look at that list and just say, oh, yeah, I agree to that, when we don't know if the plumbing's going to be $1,000 or $4,000.
So you've got to get bids because from a lender standpoint, we're putting everything on hold until that inspection is signed off.
Because you don't know if the deal's going to fall apart in the first 10 days, and you don't want your buyer to spend an extra $500.
We aren't going to order that appraisal until we know that we've got a green light to move forward. Absolutely.
So then we got 3 days to get those bids in and get those back, and that's really pushing it sometimes. I mean, we got to get an appointment with a contractor. I mean, I always have to have my regular list of guys and a backup that we can get out there, because then we've got to get those bids and then decide if we can even respond.
And scheduling is getting a lot tighter this time of year.
To that home inspection request.
Right.
So now all of the sudden we make our response on the 13th day. The buyer has 3 days to accept our response. All of a sudden we're at the 14th, 15th day, and we've just decided that we're all moving forward based upon the inspection. Now, last time I checked, we only have 15 more days before the seller has to move out.
So that's hurry up, wait, go, go, go.
Right, and that is a big deal. I mean, for sellers to meet the obligation of their contract and move out, and now you've really given them 15 days to do it, you see how stress comes into play in a real estate transaction.
It can.
So there's a lot to think about with that, and on both sides of the deal, a buyer at this point has probably given notice to their landlord that they're going to move out if they're moving out of a rental situation. And the landlord at this point, more than likely in our market, has re-rented their apartment. So they don't have an option. They are getting out now. So all of a sudden, we're jamming everything into the last 2 weeks. We need to be very cognizant of when those repairs are getting done, who's doing them, and that we have the proper documentation of that. And so we can go over a little bit more of that. We're going to have to go to break here because, just that first...
This is like the tip of the iceberg.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's happening with lending
Absolutely.
These last 2 weeks when we get back, and how we're going to handle those repairs and reinspections after the break.
So definitely tune in, because when we start talking about multiple transactions that are back to back to back, this becomes critical.
Definitely.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back, folks, to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about what can happen the last 2 weeks, how do we possibly jam all this into a 30-day close, and what it takes to get it done. So where we left off before the break is we had just finished up in an inspection. We'd done some negotiating per the inspection, and seller had agreed to make some repairs, for instance. We were going to get those done. Now we're down to about 15, 16 days.
The results are in. Where do we go from here?
And, Scott, we're done, right? No more repairs needed?
Oh, boy.
I mean, we negotiated with the buyer. We shouldn't have to worry about any more repairs, right?
You know, the best answer is it depends.
It depends on what?
It really depends on a lot of the documentation.
Scott Ridgway, now, what are you dealing with after that inspection signed off in the last 2 weeks?
Well, at Cobalt Mortgage, what we're looking for is as soon as that inspection is signed off and we know what repairs or items need to be taken care of, then we've got to make sure that those are getting taken care of, and we need to know who's paying for them. Is our borrower paying for some of them? Is our seller paying for some of them? How is that all going to work so that we can pay attention to the finalization or the last 2 weeks of closing a loan? Where's their cash to close going to come from? That's a big one. Is it coming from cashing out a 401k or an IRA or stocks? Because there's documentation we have to have in the file for that. Is it coming from paychecks? Is it coming from savings or checking? Do they already have it? So we have to make sure that the documentation that we approve them in the first place for, meaning the pay stubs, the bank statements, that kind of stuff, we have to make sure that we get proper documentation within 30 days of closing that substantiates that they still have a job and they haven't retired or quit their job or moved on. We have to make sure we get new pay stubs. We have to make sure that we get updated bank statements so that if there's any large deposits that have occurred in those, that we get documentation for those, because that's what the underwriter will require. So those are some of the things that we have to update. Any addendums, so maybe if you can speak to addendums that might come in as a result of either the inspections or the appraisal, because we will not order that appraisal until that inspection's been signed off. So if there's anything that comes in that we find out in that last 15 days could change the transaction, either from a purchase price standpoint, a seller contribution standpoint, or anything like that, we've got to make sure that we get addendums in that match up with that contract so that we can get those into underwriting so our numbers are right.
Well, and then one thing he brought up that's a great point there is that appraisal. So they order that appraisal. Just because we agreed to certain repairs to fix for the buyer, now that doesn't mean that the property will meet the needs of the lender. The lender might call out a handrail needs to be installed on the back patio.
Right.
Something that is a government type regulation to make that loan, that property loanable and pass their requirements. And we don't know. It's not the same every time.
There's two approvals. There's a credit approval that lets us know that the borrower is financeable, and there's the property approval, which you're exactly right, is the appraisal and the sign off to make sure that the property is financeable per the guidelines for the program we're using.
Now, what happens, too, is it's not the same FHA appraiser every time. It would kind of be like, you know, sending out an agent, a real estate agent, to value a house. You know, we're not all going to come up with the exact same number there from our analysis. So you've got, you know, three or four different appraisers that are going to go to this property. We don't know if this time they're going to require the handrail on the back. We don't know if this time, you know, if the roof is going to look questionable.
Yeah, there's specific
judgment call.
It's an opinion.
Based upon the guidelines. And so now we're out, you know, five, 6 more days, and there could be work orders that come in from the appraisal. So there is a lot of things being managed on the back end. Just what we've talked about so far, we're probably looking at, you know, 20 different people between, you know, between inspectors, re-inspect, you, myself, the underwriter, getting information from your bank to the bank stuff. So it is definitely, I mean, it's radio, so I can't do it. I could have had this graphic of like 20 ants moving around in the background.
You know what? Here's the best visual. Folks, Lance and I are kind of like the ringleader in a big circus. That is the best definition that I can give of it, because there are so many people that are trying to scamper around and get all the parts and pieces and everything done behind the scenes so that Cobalt Mortgage makes sure that it's a smooth, on-time closing, because we want to eliminate all the stress and we want to pre-plan and we want to predetermine what we're going to need so that when we get to those different stances or bogeys in the transaction, that everything's been done so we can move through that one and on to the next one seamlessly.
Perfect. So what I'm going to do is I'd like to talk about some property real quick, because we're going to run out of time. This topic, we could go for an hour.
We should do like a month-long study on this one.
So we could talk about, let's talk about some property real quick. I've got three.
Have you got the pick three?
Amazing new property.
We got to hear the pick three.
It's springtime. I want to get this in, and then we'll talk a little bit more about lending, just a quick local update from Scott when we finish up there. So number one, this great new place. Every time we get into this neighborhood, we always just have a blast. Super desirable home and location. This house is located at 1701 South Arthur, and it's in the Union West neighborhood. So this is, I mean, for a lot of us old Tri-Cityans, this is the Street of Dreams type neighborhood. And it is right next to Granger Park, which, as you know, has the Master Gardener's Garden, Rose Garden. So talk about
a huge field.
Great location.
You get to look at all of that. This home literally borders the rose garden.
Oh, wow.
Guess what, Scott?
Wow.
You don't have to take care of those roses either.
Oh,
Master Gardener.
I used to have 27 rose bushes. So, that is a lot of work.
Beautiful location, 3,700 square foot home, custom built, vaulted ceiling, hardwood floors. On top of that, not only do you have that great rose garden stuff to look at, they've done just a gorgeous outdoor deck and outdoor space for entertaining to take advantage of it. Heat pump, water heater, dishwasher, all updated. Dual option for the master suite on the main level or upstairs. So we've got dual master suites. Don't miss out on this one. Price to sell. They are ready to move $345,000.
Wow.
For over 3,700 square feet in Union West.
Wow.
If you've been looking at a phenomenal place to move into, be close to the park, be close to walking. There's just so many extras that come with this house. It's just a phenomenal.
You know, and I just got to tell you, you know, if you've got about a 25% down payment, your payment, home payment, taxes, insurance is going to be under $1,700 a month.
It's a phenomenal situation. Number two, this is going to be one of those that we talk about on the pick three, and we're going to talk about it next week when I tell you that it's more than likely sold. The well-maintained home, it's in Kennewick Park, so it's right up there, just in the heart of everything in Kennewick, close to everything.
Tennis courts, schools.
Awesome neighborhood, updated kitchen, newer kitchen cabinets, walk-in closet in the main bedroom, oversized family room downstairs, huge backyard over quarter-acre lot, fully fenced, updated deck, $160,000.
Wow.
How many bedrooms?
Three bedroom. Two bath.
Wow.
And just vinyl siding, updated roof. I mean, this place has been well maintained.
Yeah.
It's just dialed in. And in that price range, this is the move out of an apartment into a home ready to make the change. So, fabulous place. And that it's just 8107 West Falls Place, just right off of Deschutes in Kansas up there. Great neighborhood. I mean, you could even, Scott, you could even walk to Olive Garden, catch a movie, and walk home.
Yeah, and hit P.F. Chang's for dessert.
There you go.
It's that close.
Wow.
That a great neighborhood feel, close to everything. Pick three, better than new, two-story. This is a four-bedroom, 1.7-bath home, move-in ready, large kitchen with an island, master suite on the main level, oversized bedrooms upstairs, lots of style. Once again, huge yard. This is over in Kennewick, 1627 West 33rd Avenue. And this home is priced at $170,000. So another great option.
What a great price point for a four-bedroom home.
Phenomenal options, great price points. And these are the homes that are really just kicking and moving right now. A lot of folks leaving the apartments, first-time home.
And these just came on the market.
These just came on the market this week. All three of these brand new to the market.
Wow.
Spring inventory, folks ready to sell.
These are the kind of homes people are looking for right now.
That's phenomenal. If you'd like to see any of those, you can get me on my cell phone, 727-8977. Scott, as we wrap up, we talked about the crazy 2 weeks prior to closing.
Mm-hmm.
We probably touched on a quarter of it because of our time constraints. Real quick, lending-wise, how can people get a hold of you? Anything else we need to know before we get cut off here?
Absolutely. You can give me a call, Scott Ridgway, at Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004. That's 737-6004. Rates are holding in there, so you guys give us a call. Let us get you approved so that we can get you into your next home.
Fabulous. Scott, once again, we always appreciate you being on here. I mean, just as we wrapped up here, it was just really that there's so much that goes into, you know, that last 2 weeks prior to closing.
Right.
We know it's stressful for the sellers. We know it's stressful for the buyers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're problem solvers, and we're managing, you know, that process as much as possible.
Well, and that's why we work so hard to put a plan in place, is just give us a call. Give Lance or I a call, and we'll help you put a plan together, spend 5 minutes with you on the phone, send you an email with a list of items that you need to collect so that we can get you going down that path.
Somebody said something to me earlier this week that said, well, I bet you've seen it all and there's no surprises. And 100% not true.
Right.
I said to them, luckily, hopefully, I've seen 60 or 70% of the things we'll come up across. If not, I can apply some sort of plan or talk to somebody smarter than me that's seen the other 30%,
right,
and try. But the thing about real estate, the thing about transaction is when we look across behind our transactions for the previous year, there is almost always something new or different or unexpected whenever you have 20 or 30 variables like we talked about today.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just knowing as many of those as you possibly can, being open to learn the new ones, I think is the biggest thing in approaching it with the mindset. Something is going to happen new during this transaction,
mm-hmm.
and how can I manage that and what can I learn from it? And
well, yeah, so, a year ago, FHA was 3% down. Now it's 3.5% down.
And
mortgage insurances are changing. changing. So constant movement in your industry, in my industry, and regulatory that we have to pay attention to.
Well, that's why I'm pretty sure we can do the radio show for another 30 years.
Oh, easy.
And not have to worry, and not have to worry about running out of material.
No, and we'll just keep getting more experience on how to help buyers make a smooth transition into their next house.
So anyway, thanks for everybody that helps us through these transactions. We'd like to help you as much as possible. Once again, cell phone 727-8977. And definitely enjoy the weekend. It's getting warmer. Soccer's getting easier to watch.
Oh, it's beautiful weather.
And so we look forward to seeing all of our clients and all of our listeners out and about this weekend. Just have a phenomenal day.
Right here on News Talk 870. We'll be back next Saturday morning.